Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Sometimes I just feel sorry for Easter. Poor Easter, the poor Easter season. You know, Lent gets all the attention, all the focus, all the energy. There's Lenten programs, Lenten devotions, Lenten prayers, Lenten studies, Lenten retreats. You know, we want to do all we can to have the best Lent ever. But Easter? Do we give it that same kind of attention? I mean, every parish is thinking about Lent. They're planning Lent almost a year out. Who's going to be our Lenten speaker? And what kind of Lenten studies are we doing? And Lenten confession times and Lenten missions. And do we do the same thing for Easter, though? In your own heart, do you spend much time thinking about how to enter into the great season of Easter? I think Easter sometimes takes a back seat for many Catholics, and I know that's not what the Church is calling us to. I mean, if you look at what the Church does, think about it. How many days of Lent do we have? We have 40 days of Lent. How many days of Easter? We got 50 days. So the Church puts more emphasis on Easter, but I don't know if we do that in our hearts. Do I think about Easter as much as I do Lent? You think about the days of fasting for Lent. You know, we have, you know, Good Friday and Ash Wednesday are the two intense days of fasting. You know, we give up things throughout the year, but those are the two intense days of fasting. But what about the Easter season? You don't just have 2 days of celebration. I mean, in a sense, the whole 50 days is a celebration, but especially the first 8 days, the octave of Easter. Did you know that? It's like one grand 8-day party. It's from Easter Sunday to Divine Mercy Sunday. Those 8 days are like solemnities, full-on celebrations in the Catholic Church. And yet, do we as Catholics really enter in to what the Church is calling us to in this Easter season? Poor Easter just doesn't get the attention. I think it's because most Christians just focus on the cross. And I want to make sure we look at what Jesus came to offer, his work of salvation, with a truly Catholic lens. Not a modern Christian lens, but a truly Catholic lens. Because, you know, again, most Christians can focus just on, oh, salvation's all about the cross. Jesus died for our sins. But I think the average Christian doesn't understand why the resurrection is so important. Could you explain why is the resurrection so important? Yes, that Jesus died for my sins, that kind of makes sense, but why is the resurrection so important? I mean, think about what St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. St. Paul says, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then our faith is in vain. I mean, that's how important the resurrection of the dead is. Listen to what St. Augustine, the early church father, St. Augustine said. He said, the dead Christ would be of no benefit to us unless he had risen from the dead. You see, in rising from the dead, Jesus conquers death and he frees us from the reign of sin, the reign of the devil and the hold that he has on our lives. I think about what St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians. He says, Christ has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. You see, the resurrection is so essential, but sadly, most Catholics don't understand it. We're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection today, why it matters for our salvation, the difference it makes for our walk with God, and why we want to enter into this grand 50-day party called the Easter season and give it the attention in our hearts and our minds and our homes and our communities and our parishes that the Church is calling us to do. Are you ready? That's what we're going to take a look at in this week's podcast. So welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree. Happy Easter. It's a joy in this Easter season. And I have to tell you, during Lent, I had a lot more travel than I normally do. I was visiting many great places. I just came back right before Holy Week. I was so blessed to go down to the Miami area to this wonderful parish in Pinecrest, Florida, called St. Louis Catholic Church. It was amazing. They packed this with hundreds of people from the parish that were really on fire. They have this amazing Emmaus Road retreat that they do there. And so many people are living from their own encounter with Christ. And it was so fun to just be able to unpack the scriptures and our Catholic faith to people who are so faithful. And so blessed to meet so many people around the country over the Lenten season that were wanting to go deeper in prayer, deeper in virtue, deeper in discipleship, deeper in the Word of God. But I hope we don't stop that journey, because Lent is over. Lent is a great time to focus on our sins, focus on what Jesus came to do for us, to focus on making sacrifices and caring for the poor and growing in prayer. But that season of intensity is meant to spill over into the Easter season. It's meant to be something that kind of nudges us forward in our Christian life. It's not as if we go, oh, good, Lent is done. I could just go, you know, eat as much as I want now. Hopefully we develop some good habits of detachment from our favorite foods and drinks and screens and whatever it is that we gave up, that, you know, maybe we're not giving up completely, but we actually make a commitment in the Easter season. I'm changed. I'm different. I've been delivered. Like Jesus rose from the dead and conquered death. You know, there's areas of my life that have had a hold over me. It's kind of an area of death in my soul that I'm just too attached to this food, too attached to this comfort, or too attached to my devices. Whatever that is, it was having a hold on me. That's an area of darkness, an area of death in my soul. And, you know, and maybe over Lent, I grew in that space. I started to live more in union with Christ, and I had more detachment. And I want that to carry over. I want that to spill over into the rest of my life. So I want to encourage you all, make an Easter resolution that's maybe not as intense as your Lenten one was. But, you know, if you said, okay, I prayed every day during Lent. Well, I hope you don't give that up in Easter. in Easter, you say, okay, maybe I did like extra prayer, but I want to still carry prayer forward. So maybe if I did, I don't know, I went to daily mass every day during Lent. I remember, that's actually what I did. I remember years ago when I was in college, you know, I would go to a daily mass every once in a while, but there was one year in my college career and I made a commitment for Lent to go to daily mass. And then after Lent, it wasn't as if I just said, okay, good, we're done with daily mass. I'll just go on Sundays and holy days. You know, I had this hunger to want to keep going to daily mass, and that's a good thing. And so I pray whatever your devotion was, your sacrifice was, your extra prayers, I pray that that spills over into the Easter season and into the rest of your ordinary time life. So really pray about that this week. What is the thing that you took away from Lent that God wants to stay with you? This isn't just like, you know, I ran a sprint called 40 days of Lent and now I'm done. I'm just exhausted and I don't have to do anything anymore. Maybe there's something, you know, maybe if you, you know, you did a certain sacrifice every day, maybe you just do that sacrifice, you know, once or twice a week. You do it on Fridays or you do it on Wednesdays and Fridays. That would be a great thing to kind of keep that detachment or keep that spirit of sacrifice or keep that spirit of service or that devotion in prayer or in spiritual reading, whatever it was you did in Lent. How are you going to carry that forward in the 50 days of Easter? Well, let's talk about the Easter season here. And why it's so important that Jesus rose from the dead and the difference it makes for our daily lives. Again, I think most Christians, most Catholics, sadly, wouldn't have a truly Catholic understanding of the Paschal mystery of Christ's death and resurrection and what it does for our soul. Yeah, I think many of us just focus on Christ died for us. But there's so much more happening, and it's going to be so powerful for you to be free, to experience the freedom Jesus wants to give you in your soul. Freedom from doubts, freedom from discouragement, freedom from sin, freedom from comparing yourself to others, freedom from anxiety, freedom from impurity, freedom from sexual sin, whatever it is you're struggling with. The resurrection is all about Christ applying his rising over death, rising over the reign of Satan. He wants to relive that in our hearts so that we can rise with him. That he's rising in us over those sins and areas of darkness in our life. But the analogy I would use is this. Sometimes I'm blessed to go visit a Protestant church. I have some friends that are Protestant, and maybe I'll go see their church, or I'll be visiting a certain place, or sometimes I'm meeting at a Protestant church. And I just have to say, I've met so many great believers, particularly evangelicals, that are just on fire for the Word of God, for Bible study. They really want to give their whole lives to Jesus, surrendering to his will. They want to follow him, you know, and I learned so much from many of my Protestant friends. They really encourage me. They edify me. They challenge me because I see them and growing in virtue and really living the Christian life in ways that I could grow in. But I have to say, when I do go to a Protestant church, and as much as I'm grateful for the community, the faith, the love that I might find there, I always find the church itself missing something. You know, it doesn't maybe look like a Catholic church. Maybe it's missing the statues and the art, and, you know, and that's part of it. But the thing it's missing the most is the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle. And, you know, and I might sit in a pew at a Protestant church or kneel down. And I remember a few years back, I got to go visit Indiana University, where I had attended university and graduated from there many years ago. And I went back. It was like for the first time in over 15 years, I'd been back, or maybe 20 years on campus, I think it was. And there's this beautiful little chapel just in the middle of campus. And there's a stream that goes right by it, and it's right in the heart of campus. And I used to go in there, I remember, as a college student and pray there. And I hadn't been in this chapel for so long. And I went in and prayed. And again, it was beautiful. And I was so thankful. And the Lord really did do great work in my soul in that little chapel. But again, I was longing for something. I was longing for the tabernacle. I was longing for the sacred host, the real presence of Jesus. So there's a church there. There's that chapel. And there's many churches I've been to, different Protestant chapels and churches around the world. And they can have their beauty, and they could be full of real faith. And God meets people there, no doubt. But I long for something more. I long for Jesus, the Eucharist, to be there. And I want to use that as an analogy, because that aspect of missing something, I think, is an analogy for how many people might view Christ's work of salvation, his work of redemption, his work of atonement. I think many people just focus on, okay, Jesus died for our sins. He died, you know, and in fact, there are some Christians that, and even Catholics, have this idea that Christ just steps in and takes our punishment, you know, that the Father is going to, we sinned, we rejected God and turned away from him in sin, and God's going to pour his wrath upon humanity, and we'll be eternally punished and separated from the Father. But instead, the Father sends his Son, and the Son takes on that punishment for us, that the wrath of the Father, instead of being inflicted upon us, is inflicted upon his innocent Son. And then when the Father looks upon us, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really see our sins, you know, he sees the Son, you know, the Son standing kind of in front of us, and so he'll let us into heaven. But I find that kind of view of salvation, that Jesus just takes on our punishment, and then the Father says, well, I'll let you into heaven because I got my punishment out. You know, you're still a wretched mess, you're a wretched sinner, you're still evil at the core, but I'll let you into heaven because I got my punishment out. I let all that pent-up anger and the wrath was poured out on my Son on Good Friday. That's such a false view of the cross. That's not what the Bible says. It's not what Christians have believed from the very beginning. That kind of atonement theory is only of recent, more of a modern understanding. It's not a Catholic view of the cross. I've often said that, you know, the Catholic view of the cross is Jesus offering a gift of love. He gives a gift of love to the Father on our behalf. It's love, the Catechism says, love to the end, that gives the cross its redemptive value. But then I think sometimes when people think about what Jesus does for us, and I want to be clear, this is not every Protestant believes this, but many do. And there's many Catholics that have fallen into this kind of belief as well, that the Father, you know, like he lets out his punishment on the Son. We're still wretched, we're still sinners, but because he got the punishment out, we somehow get to go to heaven, and that Christ kind of covers us. You know, like the Father looks at Jesus, his Son, he doesn't see us. You know, grace just covers us. You know, like snow covering a dunghill. We're still dung underneath. You know, we're still wretched sinners. But the Father doesn't see our wretchedness. He sees the life of his Son. He sees his grace covering us. That's not a Catholic view. In other words, it reminds me of that Protestant church that might be have a certain beauty to it, but it's missing something. It's missing Jesus at the center. God doesn't just overlook our sins. He actually transforms you. Yes, he transforms you. His grace doesn't just cover you. His grace heals you. His grace changes you. His grace is so powerful that it makes you like Christ himself. It makes you start to value what Christ values, and to give and to sacrifice and to trust like Christ gives and sacrifices and trusts. Christ is starting to live his life in you and through you. And the Father sees you cooperating with that, and you're really being changed. So yes, you might have had areas that were like a dunghill in your life, but you're being transformed. You're becoming like a hill of roses. And the Father delights in you. He doesn't just overlook. It's not like the Father says, oh, okay, I'll let you into heaven. I mean, you're a mess. I really, you know, detest looking at you, but I don't really see you. I just see my Son covering you, or I see grace covering you. No, that is not a truly Catholic understanding of the cross. You know, the Bible says that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is really dwelling within us. We're not like empty tabernacles, like on Good Friday. That's another analogy. When you go to church on Good Friday, the tabernacle is there, but the red candle's not lit because the sacred hosts aren't in that tabernacle. It's an empty tabernacle. And doesn't that feel empty? Don't you long to like to have Jesus there, to have Jesus right there in the church. We kind of miss him. We miss him on those days. From Good Friday morning to Holy Saturday afternoon, the tabernacle is empty. But no, that's not us. No, no, we are souls. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. Christ is really dwelling within us. God doesn't just overlook our sins. He sees you. He delights in you because you've been transformed. This is the power of the resurrection. You see, if all Jesus did was come and die for our sins, and all he did was offer a gift of himself to the Father, now, that would be amazing, by the way. It's an infinite gift of love. So I'm not minimizing that. I just want you to know that's only half of what Christ came to do, was die for our sins. There's a whole other half that he came to do, and that is he came to rise from the dead, to rise over sin and death, to rise over in victory over the devil and his reign in this world, to set us free so that he can send his Spirit into our hearts, Christ's Spirit dwelling within us, changing us into his likeness, St. Paul says. Being conformed to Christ, St. Paul says. That this is the beauty of what God is doing. He didn't just die for us and say, okay, well, I offered this gift of love so that, you know, my Father won't be angry with you anymore. I mean, again, that, don't get me wrong. That's an incredible gift. But it's only half of the story of the salvation God wants to do in our souls. And many Christians miss this. Many Catholics miss this point. Many Catholics will even say, oh, Jesus died for my sins. Well, what about the resurrection? What does that do? I'm not sure. So I want you to see what Christ, he unites himself, the Son of God unites himself with our humanity. He enters into all of our suffering, all of our alienation, all of our pain. And he enters into all of that. And then he enters even into that experience of death, taking on the curse of death. But then he rises triumphantly over it. And what he does in his death and resurrection, he wants to do in your soul. Here's the key point, my friends. If you don't remember anything else from what we talked about today, give me your best attention right now. What Jesus did on Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the mystery of his death and resurrection, he wants to relive in your soul. That the same Son of God that entered into humanity, walked the streets of Galilee, went to the poor, to the suffering, he went to all the dark corners of Israel, to the people that were lonely, the people that were blind, to the lepers. He went to the great sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the drunkards. These are people that were suffering so much, far from God. He, the light of the world, went out to those dark corners of Israel. And that pattern of what he's doing all throughout those 3 years of his public ministry, constantly going out to the dark corners of Israel to bring his light, to bring his love, to bring his healing, he does ultimately on Calvary. He enters into the depths of human suffering, human separation. He unites himself to that suffering, and then he rises. And in his rising, he triumphs over sin, death, and the devil. That pattern of what Jesus does, he wants to reproduce in your soul. That's the key point, my friends. Jesus wants to, he wants to enter into the depths of your suffering. What is it that you're burdened by right now? That same Jesus that 2,000 years ago constantly went out, he wants to go out to you and to those dark corners in your soul, those areas of sin, those areas of great pain, loneliness, fear. Jesus wants to descend into the depths of the darkest corners of your soul. He's the light of the world. And by going to those dark corners of your soul, he's healing them. He's bringing light there. And then he rises over them in you. So I want you to think of that area of your life where you've got pain, where you've got suffering, where you've got fear, that area of your life where you have this weakness, you have these shortcomings, these failures, these sins that keep holding you down. Jesus wants to set you free. That's what he did in his death and resurrection. He wants to reproduce that in you. Christ is reliving that love in you. And the more he does that, the more he's reliving that perfect love in you, the more you are being changed, you're being transformed. And then he doesn't just like let you into heaven, kind of like, well, you know, yeah, you're a wretched sinner, but you know, I'll let you in. I'll overlook your sins. No, the Father delights in you. Because he sees that those dark corners are actually being changed. Those dark depths of your soul are actually being filled with love, with light, with healing. And he sees the goodness growing and growing in you, shining in you. That's the life of the Holy Spirit. You're not an empty tabernacle. You're not an empty church. No, you have Christ dwelling within you, transforming you. And he gazes upon you. The Father gazes upon you with love. He doesn't overlook your sins. He looks upon you and sees the good that's growing in you and encourages it, and he delights in that. Listen to what St. John of the Cross once said. He talked about how the soul gazes upon God, God the Father, and then sees the Father's love for him in the eyes of the Father reflected in his gaze. Listen to this, is John of the Cross imagining the soul looking upon God. You looked with love upon me, and deep within your eyes imprinted grace. This mercy set me free to lift my eyes adoring to your face. God looks upon you. As you gaze into his eyes, you see the Father's eyes looking at you with great mercy, and he's setting you free, and he's changing you so that you can lift your eyes to see, you know, his face delighting in you as you're delighting in him. This is what the Easter season is all about. So my friends, practically here, two things I want you to do. I already mentioned one of them at the beginning of the show, and that is think about, what did you take away from Lent? What was the thing you noticed in Lent that God was inviting you to grow in, an area where you were finding greater freedom, a greater union with God, whatever that was, treasure that, thank the Lord for it, and then make a resolution for Easter. Make an Easter resolution that you carry that forward, maybe not with the same intensity, but something that brings it forward so that whatever area you were growing in the Lenten season, you continue to grow in through the Easter season and then through ordinary time. Second thing is think about an area in your life where your spiritual life is maybe becoming stagnant, where you're struggling, an area of doubt, an area of fear, an area of sin that you feel like you can't break free, and ask Jesus in this Easter season to rise in you over those fears, over those areas of lukewarmness, over that struggle, over that doubt, over that sin, over that weakness. Jesus wants to reproduce his resurrection in you. And the more and more you cooperate with that, the more and more the Father delights and that goodness, that change that is happening, as it's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. That's what St. Paul says. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're not empty tabernacles. We're not empty churches. Churches, just places of worship. No, we have God dwelling within us. Our God is dwelling within us, and he's rising and rising over and over again, conquering our sins and our fears and our weaknesses, so that his light may shine through our darkness. Thanks so much for listening, my friends. May you have a blessed, blessed Easter season. God bless.